King of Darkness, man. Marcus, here we are talking about King of Darkness. Second Water Ski Pro Tour event of the year. First Water Ski Pro Tour event in slalom and jump. So, you know, obviously King of Darkness, traditionally a jump event in the dark. This year they added slalom as well, both women and men. And what do you say we start with that? We start with women's slalom.
Yeah. First, though, should we just mention how awesome the event looked from the webcast?
Yes. Yes. I mean,
a lot of people, great event, one of the best venues for skiers, right? If we're talking about performance, this is one of the best in the world. Also, they rolled out the red carpet. You know, the Garcias and everybody who puts this thing on, they're passionate. It's not just, let's have the best water skiers in the world. They're like, let's make it a show, just like it used to be when it was like big, big time. They had show skiers. They had barefooters. They were doing flips off the ramp. They were doing pyramids. It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's
for
pretty
sure.
Pretty awesome.
And, you know, thinking about that, you know, we often think of a dichotomy of a lot of people, bad sight, so do you have a lot of people, or very good ski sight in the middle of nowhere, no crowd. Well, the Garcias put the two together. As you said, one of the best places in the world to ski. And there was a crowd there to enjoy the event, right? So hats off to
you
them.
You can have your cake and you can eat it too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Okay, so women's slalom. Format was two rounds plus four skiers final in a head-to-head format. So preliminaries, what did you see in the prelims for women?
Well, in the prelims, you know, I didn't see much because there wasn't a webcast, but some of the scores, the first out, Chelsea Mills, 2 at 39, 1.5 39, didn't make the cut. Paige Rini ran 38 both rounds, didn't make the cut. Alice ran at one round, 38 off. Neely Ross ran at one round. There was some good skiing going on. Karen Truelove got through 38 off in the prelims, which was pretty phenomenal because she's just continuing to show up. I don't know what happened to Elizabeth Montavon. She went down at 32, it looked like. But, yeah, I mean, any way you look at it, top four women, Whitney, Regina, Jamie Bull, and Allie. That's you kind of would expect that, I guess, if you're looking at that running order. So there weren't really any surprises there,
right?
In my opinion.
No, I agree. I mean, even if we just look at how the Water Ski Pro Tour shaped last year and you had to guess on a four skiers final for the first event of the year, I think with the names on the water, you would have probably gone for those four names. Head-to-head final, U.S. in the first, U.S. versus U.S., one bracket, Canada versus Canada in the second bracket. Obviously, you know, Regina won against Ali, but I must say Ali was skiing. You know, it wasn't so, if you were just watching at the video, you wouldn't have said, okay, this is an easy call. But Regina just pulled it through at 39. And Ali seemed like she had a very good start. And somewhere between 2 and 3, the course was running away from her and ended up with a score of 3 at 39. Whereas I believe Regina ran it in that first bracket, advancing to the final.
Yep. Good skiing, though, by both. Obviously, Regina crushing it. You know, if you look at Ali, she looks like a skier. If she ran 39, you wouldn't be surprised. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So I think she's got the pieces pretty close, and it's cool to see she's skiing like a veteran. But just maybe it's that part between the ears that gets a lot of us skiers anyway, that she just hasn't really found the confidence or the ability to believe in her abilities, really. But I'll say this about Ali. She looks like she's having some of the most fun out of any skier out there. I think she should get the best sportsmanship award because she's smiling at the boat before she lets go, and she's not even done in the water yet, and she's waving at the boat. Like, she's excited. You can tell she's stoked. She's enjoying it. That's what we want to see, right? She's enjoying being a pro skier.
Yeah, and won her first pro event last year. I think, as you said, the one missing link for her right now is going through that pass at 39. And as you know, sometimes it's just that confidence, right? Like, I've done it, so now I can do it. Despite she might be doing it every day in practice, there's that sense, that there's that added value of doing it in a tournament that brings that extra confidence of, I've done it, why should I not do it again?
For sure. What about the Canadians?
Canadians, you know, I would say, obviously, Whitney made it through. Jamie looks, how can I say, looks good as always, just seems a little bit like it's early in the season for her. That's the view from the webcast, right? Not any major mistakes, to be honest, just a little bit of rhythm, you know? And so it almost seems like her margin of error at the moment is a little small. And that showed in the first bracket. Like, we didn't see, as you said, we didn't get to watch the prelims. She posted a 5 at 39, so obviously she's not too far off from, you know, getting back to peak shape. But in the head-to-head, just looked like, you know, things still need to be perfect for her to go through the pass. And
I agree. Timing
and
looks
Whitney,
a little off.
Yeah, and Whitney took advantage of it and ran 39 in that round also. Basically, Whitney did the whole weekend at Hancock, not missing a single 39.
Whitney looks the best I've ever seen her right now, honestly. I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, I know she's been strong for years, but she is looking really, really good this weekend. I mean, running 39, as you said, all four rounds, that's pretty phenomenal.
Yep.
So I think I just got the cart before the horse, but yeah.
Yeah, I think I did too.
Whitney did run 39 in that final round against Regina.
And correct.
That, I think if you run 39 every round as a woman, you're going to expect to be like one or two on the podium for the most part. It wasn't like that at the World Championships 2 years ago, but I think you're going to expect that for the most part right now, this early in the season. So Whitney did that. Regina did not do that in the finals, and Whitney ended up on top.
Yeah, and you know, like, I think it wasn't too big of a spoiler because obviously knowing that it would have been Whitney versus Regina, you know, you almost expect Regina to run 39. You know, that's the what great athletes do. They create expectations of greatness, and it looked like Regina had that one like she had several hundreds before. And unfortunately, like, something didn't connect at four, and at five didn't quite get out to manage to pull to six. So Regina ended up with five at 39, and Whitney ran it in that final round.
Mateo.
Yep.
Regina, I know we haven't talked about jump yet. Regina jumped before slalom final.
Ooh.
Right?
True.
So you got to factor that in. So Regina was doing two sports at the King of Darkness, and no other woman in the finals in slalom was doing that. So I think when you factor that in, it does take its toll. So Regina had just jumped prior to this women's slalom final, and who knows, you know, that she's human. As much as we think she's an anomaly and just like a machine, she is human. So I think that could have maybe had something to do with missing 39 only once, and that happened to be in the finals after that jump performance that she put out that we'll get to.
We'll get to, but you know, again, what level in women's slalom, right? You miss 39 one time and you don't get to win, whereas up until not too long ago, it almost seemed like if you run 39 you get to win in the pro win. So I mean, exceptional skiing last weekend. It went Whitney's way, which gave her 50 points in the leaderboard of the Water Ski Pro Tour. 40 for Regina, third Jamie with 33 points, and Ali with 25. That was women's slalom. What about men's slalom? What jumped out at you?
Well, men's slalom, okay, so let's go back. Let's talk about the prelims, right? So the prelims, it kind of, there were a few surprises to me. Stevie Island was pretty low. 3 at 39. I mean, I know he just came on strong last year, but you know, 339, and I think he might have missed his gates. I don't know what his second score was because it didn't give it to us, but that was kind of one of the things I was surprised about. And Charlie Ross and Benny Stahlbauer both kind of fell short from what I would have expected. There's some good scores, obviously, 1.5 41, but Corey Vaughn, 241. There's a lot. There was a strong battle. You had to basically, well, you had to run 3 at 41 twice to make it into the top four. So that was a tall order. We saw Pagosi get 3 at 41. We saw Rob Hazelwood get 3 at 41. Neither of them made it into the finals. So that's a big cut, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's a big cut, right? Like they only took four for a head-to-head format for the men as well. So, you know, the cut, like, you know, when I saw the format, I thought, okay, that's going to be, you know, 3 of 41 or higher. Turned out to be you had to do 3 in both rounds, right?
Yeah, consistently.
One name that you didn't mention, and I'm super happy to see him back on the water, was Adam Sedlmeyer, who, due to season out last year, was first off the dock during the weekend, which is, you know, this is someone that has won pro tournaments in slalom. So seeing him going first off the dock, I wish I could ask him what was that experience like. Did not too shabby. I mean, 2 at 41, pretty close, you know.
Yep. 2 at 41, that's really good. I mean, that's unknown territory, like you said. It's really hard to go out first. Before everybody else and put a big score out there. So that is quite impressive, actually. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of big scores if you look at the leaderboard, but the top four in the finals, Nate Smith, you know, Fred, Will Asher, T-Gas. Again, you look at the list before the tournament, you'd say, yeah, these guys are probably going to be the guys, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, there's a lot of talent and experience in these top four skiers. So going into head-to-head with these guys, I think it was T-Gas and Nate first. I think it was T-Gas first and then Nate second in that first matchup, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yep.
I think I have inside knowledge, I think from a different event later in the weekend, but T-Gas, I think, was on a new ski, it sounded like. And it kind of looked like he was on a new ski as well. So Thomas DeGasperi's been doing this forever. He's a 3-time world champ, I believe, right?
2-time world champ, yeah.
2-time. I'm sorry. I was trying to get ahead of myself. So 2-time world champ, just like Will Asher. And you don't expect to see him miss 39. He got 5 just inside 6 in that first semi-head-to-head matchup with Nate Smith. And he just kind of got later and later, and he didn't have that explosive, like, catch back up turn. He looked tentative on the gates. He was back on a ski. And Nate, you know, obviously got through 39 in advance, but still, not going to take anything away. T-Gas is an old guy like myself. I'm stoked to see him out there every time he shows up in an event, just like CP, just like Will Asher. It fires me up. So,
yeah, and
Nate wins that first matchup.
And not that definitely a given, right? Because if memory doesn't fail me, one of the last times that Nate hasn't won an event was at a California Pro-Am a couple of years ago and lost in the first round against T-Gas in a head-to-head format. So, you know, when I saw that matchup, I'm like, well, interesting. Let's see what happens, you know? Nate took it home, as you kind of alluded, fairly easily in this occasion. But, you know, I thought that was, you know, there was, at the end of the day, he was skiing against the last dude that beat him. So, you know, I'm sure there was something in there. So Nate goes through, and then Will versus Freddy. Will pulled the 5, man, which was, you know.
Will went first.
Will went first. Five. Yeah. Yeah. Damn. Which, if you think about last season of the Water Ski Pro Tour, those consistent 5 at 41s really paid off for Will. I mean, what could say that's how he won the tour last year, right? And yeah, after, exactly, you know, like a couple of rounds with 3 to make it through, posts a big 5, and that went ahead of Freddie, who fell at 3-ball at 41.
Yeah, Freddie looked, I didn't see the first two rounds because it wasn't webcast, but he looked a little, he looked pretty good through 39. He just looked a little off at 41 on his gate and one. Was trying to make up time from the start and, yeah, just needed a big three, blew the ski out. But still, I mean, we're talking about he needed to get 5.25 at 41 to advance. You know, it's a tall order. So he was going for it from the start, as you would have expected.
And that's a good reminder, right? So head-to-head format, according to Water Ski Pro Tour rules, until the final, second has to beat first. And then when you get to the finals, if there's a tie, you go back at that rope length. Not at the last ran rope length, but at that rope length, right? So as you rightfully said, Freddie going second, he needed a piece of six, and unfortunately didn't go his way. So that brought us...
And then in the final...
Yeah. Yeah.
It Will, unfortunately, kind of left the door wide open. I don't know what happened. At 39, he had an okay start, came into two, and just suddenly like had all kinds of loose line, couldn't actually, you know, make the ski come through, and couldn't get to three at 39, which is super uncharacteristic.
Exactly.
I don't know if it was the light, the lighting, the how dark it was. I don't know what it was, but he left the door open for Nate. Nate made easy work of that. So it was very kind of anticlimactic in that men's head-to-head final, unfortunately, because that's my cup of tea. I love to see a battle, you know?
No, of course, everyone does, right? Like you could say, obviously, in the women's final, it was much closer, much more, you know, nail-biter than the men's. And as you said, very uncharacteristic of Will not to take advantage of his onside turns. That's, you know, typically what jumps out of the screen when you watch him ski. And as you said, just no connection. Maybe he couldn't see very well. Who knows? But basically, yeah, no, didn't get out of two ball at 39. And Nate just had a fun little ski set running 41 again.
Yeah. Yeah. Made it look easy. No problems.
Right. Right, so then Nate ends up with the first 50 points of the tour, followed by Will with 40 and Freddie with 33. And actually, I should say Nate got 52 points because he ended up with the best score of the weekend. So by Water Ski Pro Tour rules, that gives you two extra points. So 52 for
Nate. I like that's handy.
Kick off the season, cool. Yeah.
Plus two bonus.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So... and that was slalom, right?
Yeah.
However, traditionally, this is a jump event. I think the jump was very interesting. A lot of stories here.
Yeah.
So starting with women, I mean, you know, again, we couldn't watch the preliminary rounds, but judging from the scores in the prelims, seemed like Hanna Strzelcowa was going to have, you know, a regular weekend of, you know, domination. 56.7.
Yeah, 5+ meters.
Yeah.
Longer than anybody else.
Basically, yeah. Like she was, you know, one jumping buoy ahead of everybody else, you know.
Yeah.
And then in the final, unfortunately didn't go her way. But what I found extremely, you know, interesting, and I think Zach on the mic like really put a good stress on it, was that Regina won with a 3/4 cut.
Yeah, that was crazy. On only one jump. Passed on her first, 3/4 second, passed on her third. Double eight.
Yep.
Crazy. 178. Takes the title.
Now, from the commentary and just by watching a webcast, it seemed like there was a bit of a tailwind going on. So that might justify, you know, Regina's, you know, choice of, you know, starting with the 3/4, posting a jump on the board, which at the end of the day, that's, if it's a good jump, that's all you need, right? Those are three attempts.
True.
So she definitely did that and then went for a double cut and decided it wasn't the thing to do, to go over. And then Anna just, you know, didn't look different from the usual, looked like she couldn't quite connect it on those three attempts.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I think, well, you know this from competing. I think a lot of folks out there know this from whatever they've had experiences with in life, but it's good to be able to prove it to yourself early on in an event in the earlier rounds. But ultimately, what matters the most to you as an athlete and to, you know, your goals, if your goal is to win or to do your best, is to peak in that last round. And I think that's just a theme that we see over and over again, where everybody's different. Everybody needs a different approach to get to that peak in the last round. And you know this as a, you know, sports psychologist, but I don't know what happened to Hannah in that last round, but it just looked like she wasn't able to make that happen like she was in the earlier prior rounds. I don't know if that was a mental change or if it just was the lighting. I don't know what it was. But yeah, she was definitely off her game almost by, you know, 16, 17 feet.
Yep. Yeah, unfortunately, something must have happened in that final. And as you know very well, in water skiing, the variables are many. So who knows which one that was. But staying to you with your line of thought in terms of peeking into the final round, Sasha Denyeskaya definitely did that, upping herself by 10 feet from the preliminary rounds and earning a well-deserved second spot. And then we had Hannah in third. Back to Regina, Marcus. I mean, this is someone who blew her knee 2 years ago jumping. We didn't see much of her. Less than 2 years ago, right? Like preparing for Masters in 21. Didn't see much of her jumping last year, and then shows up at the first event of 2023 and takes the W. So great work, you know?
That's crazy. I mean, she's been a phenomenal three eventer her whole life, right? Since she was a kid. But I assumed after she did her knee almost 2 years ago, I assumed that was it. I assumed, all right, we're going to focus on slalom. We've got the career. We've got, you know, our body that we want to be able to use when we're 50. And I just assumed she had kind of written that off. But that was a wrong assumption, because as you can see, all it took her was one jump to come away with a win against the best jumpers in the world, you know, queen of darkness off the ramp. So it's pretty crazy to see, actually, at her age. She's not young. She's probably the oldest out there by, I don't know, I don't even want to guess, maybe 12 years or more, maybe 15 years. So
definitely 10. Definitely, Len. And, you know, how fitting it is that Regina means queen, right? So Regina, the queen of darkness of 2023. Let's move for a second to the king of darkness. I mean, the storylines, just by looking at these scores and how they turn out, are several. By the way, format here in the jump event, two preliminary rounds, best score goes through, and then a regular final round of jumping. What jump did you women, looking at men? These scores? Six women, eight men, correct.
Yeah. I mean, the first thing that jumped out at me in the prelims was, I mean, Dorian and Joel both kind of blew it out of the water. And obviously, Freddie, you know, he was, after the first round, he knew he was probably good, so I mean, he just, hey, let's save my body, because he doesn't have that, you know, as many jumps left as some of those other kids. But obviously Joel and Dorian, that's pretty solid. I think seeing Jack not go further than 182, I know he was just probably feeling it out, but that kind of plays with your head too, you know, 222 in the first round and then 182. I think that maybe sometimes that can get in people's heads. If you go out and kind of feel it out second round, just to kind of get some more jumps under your belt or get some more passes in slalom, but then you don't hit what you want to hit, it can get in your head.
And
Conley, dude, 217.
Yeah, well, it's coming up, man. Like, Conley has been, in the last 2 years, has been showing that he can pass 65 meters pretty much every event, every time he gets on the water. Looks like a very consistent jumper too, not like a hit or miss or like past big crash, you know, like very consistent jumper. And I think, you know, akin to Jack 2 or 3 years ago or Taylor, I just feel that his time is coming. You know what I mean? Like that tournament where things click, you go 220, 222, and then, you know, as we said before, like confidence, you know, with Ali, confidence comes for that, knowing that you can do it one time. Back to Jack and what you were mentioning, you know, feeling it out in jump can be different, right? So he knew he was in after first round. He might have tried to go for a bit of a later cut, later look at the ramp to get a good look for the final. And clearly, looking at the score, things didn't click. And you can take it both ways, right? You could say, okay, I got the look. I know what I have to do in the final. Although in the final was definitely a darker look than what he had in the second round. Or, man, I didn't get it on that round. And then that can build up some pressure for the final, right? It can go either way.
Yeah.
But obviously, the things that jumps out is those Joel and Dorian tied. Very similar to final at Worlds, at preliminary at Worlds 3 years ago. Freddie goes out first before, right? And this time, you know, delivers and gets a 68.8, 226 feet. And I can sort of see him, you know, getting on the dock and go, okay, let's see if the kids can match that now. And this time they didn't, right?
No. That gets back to what I was talking about earlier with the women. It doesn't matter what you do as long as you make the cut and you can show up to the final. If you're included in that final, yeah, okay, maybe the weather can change. If you're out early versus, you know, late, maybe the sun, the glare, whatever. But at the end of the day, it's like what you do in that final. And you see Freddie go out with maybe more experience than anybody else who's doing it now. Just unbelievable amounts of experience, and he knows what he has to do, and he's got a good feel for it, and he's going to push the envelope just enough, and you see he comes out on top again by almost 2 meters.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, got the win in typical Freddy's fashion. I mean, I was watching the webcast, and when I saw him connecting and just taking that Freddy Krueger lift off the ramp, obviously from a webcast, it's hard to see how far they're going. But I thought, okay, that's pretty traditional big Freddy jump. And let's see what the others can do. Obviously, Taylor in second place with 67.1 posted a big one, very consistently above 66. So, you know, if my math doesn't fail me, consistently above 220. Just didn't have that little, you know, couple of meters necessary to get the win. But he's there, Taylor, right? Like at every tournament, he's been consistently on the podium, pushing, you know, the Freddy and Ryan, who unfortunately wasn't there at this event, you know, bothering them. And I know, as we said, with Conley, just at the moment, we'd have been more of an experienced skier. The time will come where, you know, Taylor would just sit on, like, stand on that higher stand of the podium.
Yeah, I think with Taylor, one thing it's probably talked about, but I'll say it again. Taylor's still quite young in some regards, but he's been through some injuries, like some significant injuries, you know. And I think that for him to be able to do what he just did, he's, you know, still trying to put his big boy pants on, and he's going to have a real career. So he's not singularly focused either on skiing, if I'm not mistaken. You know, he's got other irons in the fire, and he's overcome injuries. And so, yeah, it's cool to see, man. I knew Taylor when he was 5 years old, and then see him out here pushing these boys and, you know, nipping at Freddie's heels in the dark. That's pretty killer.
Yeah, also one thing I noted, obviously, Freddie first, Taylor second, both Mastercraft athletes. So, you know, that's one of the variables I was alluding to. They're used to the boat, to the feel of the wakes, to how the boat responds. So probably that had a little bit of an advantage for them in that specific event. So, yeah, to conclude, we had Freddie first with 60 points, Taylor with 48, and Dorian with 40. Now, listeners might wonder why, you know, Freddie got 60 to win jump and Nate 150 to win slalom. There was different money at stake. So the more money at stake in that event, the more points the skiers get according to placement. And then the 2 points for best score actually went to Joel Poland with that 69.1 in the prelims. Marcus, I know you're going to be, we're going to be hearing more of you very soon because you and Trent will take away the Swiss Pro Slalom. Until then, well, thank you very much for joining me for this recap.
Matteo, thanks. This has been fun and looking forward to more. Pretty cool. Let's see where this goes.
Yep. Thank you.